Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Towards the Jay Crowder approach as opposed to the Iguodala approach when it comes to, okay, I've been traded to Memphis. I better go do, you know, better go do my best as opposed to half-assing it or not showing up at all if I want to last in this league beyond the 2 years I've got left.
Sure.
Yes. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
You'll get a good Bledsoe, it feels like to me. And again, does that make you a top four seed? No. In the West? No. But what it's allowed you the ability to do is to get that money off the books eventually,
yeah,
and then have whoever you're getting at 10 as opposed to 17. So I don't see any way that this isn't a good thing.
I'm going to go glass
if
half.
If you can pull it,
I'm going to go glass half full on Eric Bledsoe to start off this discussion because
I've never been a Bledsoe fan.
So I'm looking at his stat line. Like, people act like the guy was slaw last year in New Orleans, and he wasn't as good as his normal years. But he was a 12-point scorer a game. He played 71 games, you know. And the year before that, he played 61.
Is he an upgrade from Tyus? Is he an upgrade from Tyus?
Yes, he is. He's a better player than Tyus Jones.
He is from a scoring standpoint and everything else, but does he help you win? Does he fall in line? You know what I'm saying?
I think he can, but I don't.
I think at 31, yeah, he needs to.
He needs to for it, and that's why I don't think you're going to be Andre.
He can actually help you in addition to being a good deal because, okay, you take the money now, you get it off the books later.
Yeah.
I think if he does that, but if he comes in here, he's a prima donna, you know, yeah, puts up the numbers, but it doesn't help you win anything. You don't necessarily need that either.
Yeah.
And by the second year, maybe you're looking to, I don't know, part of that money's, part of that contract's guaranteed second year. Maybe you're looking to get off of him by that point, buy him out or whatever it is.
So that part, you know, you can't predict, but I think he can help you. And then on the 10th pick, if you can do the deal, you want the 10th pick because, and I'm looking at this, Davion Mitchell is also another one we haven't mentioned.
He is also falling right now. You mentioned Davion Mitchell.
Yeah.
So would be, at one point, may not look like he would be available at 10. Certainly does now. It might be even later.
But I was brought him up
the
because.
Get out of Butler.
Baylor.
Yeah, excuse
yeah.
Me, Baylor.
Well, like I looked at some of Ryan McDonough's tweets because Ryan McDonough's going to join us tomorrow afternoon. Davion Mitchell, he's super high on. He's like, people have been dropping him, but it's a mistake because he can shoot and he's big. He's, you know, he's 6'1", 6'2", but he's 200 pounds. He's a strong guard and he had a good run there with Baylor. So
yeah, all of the most recent mock drafts that have been redone as we enter this new week and week of the draft, obviously, most of the ones I've looked at have Davion Mitchell dropping.
Dropped 12, yeah, 13, yeah, yeah. 14.
He was in the 7 range, 8, sort of, you know, in that range. They've all sort of dropped him to lower lottery. Some more, a little bit higher at 10.
This is NBC.
Kind of places,
James Hamm from NBC Sports had him at 10, but that's pretty high considering some of these other drafts. You're right. I'm looking at other ones have him dropping. But you like some of these other guys, like Moody is good. Duarte, you think he'll be around at 17 if they pick at 17?
Moses Moody, some have gone as high as number 7. I just think with his body, with what you need from a shooting standpoint, we know he can do that. He did it in his 1 year at Arkansas. If you can get up to 10, you will not get a Moses Moody unless you move up. And you may not get him moving up to 10. And again, do you do this deal if you don't see yourself on Thursday night being able to get, if Moody's your guy, if you don't see yourself being able to get him at 10, do you even do this?
Do
is it
deal?
Worth it at this point? That's why we won't know on this, it feels like, until then.
Mm-hmm.
Until they know what they can get at 10. Right at 10,
who's available
if they move up.
Right.
That's why. So we can talk about this all week long, but nothing's going to materialize certainly until then. But what I like overall, whether this is the deal that the Grizzlies eventually do, whether it's something like Golden State, who we targeted last week, the aggressiveness, the idea that you've bought yourself the ability here to take a swing, to take a little bit more of a swing, a little bit more of a chop here at a fastball, try to get you a guy with a higher ceiling. because, again, of the position you put yourself in as an organization.
Will the Grizzlies,
with a lot going for you
will
right
the Grizzlies
now.
Regret passing on a guy like Kispert if he's available, if you can get him, who's a 6'7 shooter? I mean, because that to me would hurt if that kid is – if you project that he's going to be awesome, like I think John's right about that. Like,
most folks think that he's going to be fine. I've kind of held it against him when he got – you know, when he goes against Baylor –
that
sort
was
of
a
got exposed
dreadful final. You and I saw the same thing. I'm with you on that.
Are you going to be able to guard guys athletically in the league? But the thing about Kispert, it's the high IQ. Can he be passable on defense? He will never be. He's never going to be a guy that's his strength, it feels like. But can he, with that IQ, be decent enough on defense that he's not a liability for you?
Right.
When he's out there with Ja, it's not two bad defenders? I think, yeah, sure.
Maybe.
And the thing about Kispert is, for the most part, he's polished. He's going to knock down shots right off the bat. You like his size.
Yep.
And so, look, if there's an opportunity to get him, and, again, a Moody is off the board, then, yeah, okay, Kispert is fine. But Moody's my guy at 10. If he's still there and I've jumped up to 10, I'd love to have him. I'd look at a Keon Johnson. Again, I don't know that – that jumper at 10 for Keon Johnson, that's kind of, ooh, that's a little scary.
He's not a terrible shooter. He's not terrible.
Oh, it was 20-something percent at Tennessee, I thought. What they've thought is that he can improve it, but it's going to take time. He's also not a great ball handler, but he is a dog. We'll play some defense, and he's got a freaking 48-inch vertical. Like, and he's 6'5".
Jeez.
Like, there's a lot to like about Keon Johnson, even though there's still a couple of some question marks. But the point would be Grizzlies love it if this is going to be the move you guys looking to move up. What I'm not down with is sort of just this, hey, stand pat, because this is, you know, we're in such good position, we can afford to. No, be aggressive. This is how you get yourself an even better position, by taking swings, getting yourself even further ahead of schedule, taking swings and coming through on some of this stuff. And, look, there's a lot of potential up around 10, you know, maybe getting a guy that's an actual piece for you going forward, as opposed to somebody that, yeah, they can help you now, sort of thinking that Chris Duarte, yeah, it looks good now. He fills the role that you've been doing, that the guy that can come in 24 years old right away can play, but does he ultimately get you anywhere else? Where do you go from where you are right now with Chris Duarte would be the question. That's playing it safe to me, even though, you know, if that's who you get at 17, you stayed pat, I wouldn't be mad at it.
I'm looking at the Keon Johnson stuff. Like, I think...
It's 20-something percent from three of Tennessee.
From three,
like, there's big question marks about his three
points.
Yeah,
from 3 points, it's 27%. He's a 45% field goal.
Him, Booknight, we're not efficient.
I mean, he's a volume guy, too. I mean, he averaged like 12 points a game, 11 points a game. But my thing is, if you need a shooter, so why would you draft him? You know, that's the thing.
You need a shooter. I'm with you, and I said that in our Odyssey breakdown on the mock draft. I'm with you. You need a shooter... But do you need him next season so you can be a top four seed? No.
Right.
You need a shooter eventually, right, that's going to be there for when it's time.
Right.
And if that could be Keon Johnson a couple of years, I think it's possibly still worth the take because of everything else he can do.
Oh, he's a sick athlete. Now, there's no doubt about it.
If I get to 10 and it's between him or Moody, it ain't between them. I'm taking Moody. He's the more polished guy at this point, especially offensively. I'm with you. You need shooting. But how fast do you have to get in here, and it's got to help you right away? I'd be willing to take a guy who maybe a little bit the check marks aren't quite there.
Sure.
But the upside's higher,
and you've got time to
get there and get it done. Absolutely. So it will be exciting to see what the Grizzlies do. Draft is Thursday. It's exciting because the Grizzlies have put themselves, like we say, in such good position to, if they want to move up, you've got some assets and some things you can do, and that would include, we say – maybe taking on some salary. The thing about, if you're going to take on some salary like the Eric Bledsoe and this rumored deal, you're going to have to cut Justice Winslow, which I know would make you happy, Brad Carson.
I'm fine with that.
To cut that deal and use that money on
totally
anything else.
That.
You've been talking about, you want to use that money on anything else. Forget keeping him around, having him as an asset perhaps at the trade deadline next year because he's an expiring. You've always wanted to do something money.
Yeah.
This would be one way to do that.
My thing is, I think we talk so much about sample size. We got a really good sample. I feel like our sample on Justice was big enough. Like, you don't need to spend $13 million on him. That's where I land on it.
If you can
figure out any other more constructive way, like, it's okay to take an L on that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, and go ahead and take your L.
You would be admitting it. And so far, it's been nothing but a mistake, and you would be admitting the mistake by getting off of him, using that money elsewhere, we're fine. It's fine
it's
to make
fine.
A mistake.
Totally fine.
Because for the most part, this front office has been pretty darn good all the way across the board everywhere else for these last couple of years.
I like the low risk.
And you're going to make mistakes as a front office.
You should.
And I mean, at some point, you have to admit them, because what keeps you, what puts you back behind the eight ball is not admitting mistakes and trying to adjust around them rather than cutting it loose.
Well, you should. And you should do deals like the Bledsoe deal, because you are optimistic you can get the best Eric Bledsoe, and then you get that 10th pick, as opposed to, you know what, we tried and we didn't get it done with the Winslow deal, you know?
So
it's fine.
We'll see what happens before, as we said before, the draft as we lead into it on Thursday. Grizzlies got the number 17 pick for now. Rumors are they've been looking to move up. Perhaps the Pelicans, perhaps the Golden State Warriors will be one of those teams they can get that deal done with. Plenty more to get to, including Luka Doncic. We'll do it in the rundown, making his Olympic debut. He was absolutely fantastic for Slovenia, probably as you would expect him to be. Chandler Jones, unhappy with the Arizona Cardinals. I talked about it. Camp starts for Green Bay tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers, still not happy. So point is, y'all know Pimples, y'all know Dr. Pimple Popper, all that. This thing about to come to a head.
see the metaphor there,
we're going to see what happens.
Pop
plenty
that
more
thing.
To get to in the rundown, 1 o'clock, we got Respect Burgers, 125 Jason Fitz, plenty more to get to on a Monday. It's J&J 929 FM ESPN.
Call from mom, answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I was driving. Trees went by. Me and Del were singing. Little runaway. I was flying.
1 o'clock, we're going to be doing some Respect Burgers. I know who that disrespect dog is going to go to. USA basketball.
God, that was embarrassing, man.
Why do we even
it's
play
an easy
the game?
One.
But plenty of respect, not just disrespect, to hand out as well at 1 o'clock.
Nice.
In 125, Jason Fitz. Right now it's time for the rundown. Let's do it.
Now it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
From the great Heather Dinich, who Brad just landed for tomorrow. Going to be on the show tomorrow at 125. Thank you for getting Brad, because I know she is busy. She's in the middle of it, and it's from her report, which we will read. Texas and Oklahoma officially notified Big 12 on Monday. We've talked about this news all first hour. It's changing the landscape of college football as we know it, and it's all happening because it's official. They've contacted the Big 12, let them know they're not going to be renewing the grants of media rights following its expiration in 2025. Made the statement. Here is the statement. Providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. The universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving collegiate athletics landscape as they consider how best to position their athletic programs for the future, which basically says that, we agree to the deal. We signed it, the media rights deal, all of that, our current agreement, which runs out after the 24-25 athletic season. But it says we're going to be monitoring, which tells you we're going to be looking to get out before then.
Yep.
Now, we've talked about it. The big question for Big 12 right now is, and particularly for Texas and Oklahoma, okay, we know where you're going. How fast can you get there? Tony talked about it compared to a divorce. The paper's been signed, but it could take a while before you unravel this thing. Will it be one season? Will it be two? You get to a point where it's two, and it's cool. Like, man, they're lame ducks in that conference. That doesn't feel right either. Everybody, like we've said, have got their individual agendas. Big 12 will be looking to move on. And so you got to figure nobody wants to prolong this. You know it's happening. You don't want to prolong them in the, you know, Texas, Oklahoma in the Big 12 if you don't have to. But again, that could take some time. Brad and I, at least today, are betting on it taking two seasons. I think I'm still with you where it's at, although we know there'll be some, you know, there'll be a lot of reasons to get this thing done as quickly as possible and move on, particularly for the Big 12 if you're going to try to, you know, survive.
Right.
Well, maybe you want to get them out earlier so they have to pay more money than they would if they wait around a couple of years. We said after this season, it'd be $76 million for the two schools to get out.
I think that the other part of this that we didn't talk about last hour wasn't just the teams wanting to get out early as possible, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years. But not only are they lame ducks, but think about it the opposite way. These other schools need to be proactive so you're not just sitting around with not getting your ducks in a row for what inevitably you're going to be falling into with your conference, right? And you want to be in the best conference possible. Andy Staples wrote for The Athletic, and he wrote the Big Ten now, what will happen, possibly, is that they get excited. They get, oh boy, we need to be proactive as opposed to reactive. So maybe you go get
a Kansas.
You get massive schools, not only just Kansas or an Iowa State, but then you go, let's go to these, American colleges, the AAU schools, they're these American Association of Universities, these top-end academic institutions that are part of this consortium. You know, and you're talking about the UCLAs, and you even go to the Pac-12, and you grab some of those. So you go, okay, we're going to grab Iowa State and Kansas in the Big 12, if we're the Big 10. And we're also going to grab a mega conference. We go UCLA, we grab you.
The Pac-12.
Right. So here's how, and he laid out a conference structure like this. You have a leaders pod. Out east, Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland, and then you add and he has in this leaders pod USC and UCLA. You make it a global, you make it a national brand. Legends pod: Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Cal, and Stanford. You go get Stanford out of the Pac-12. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois. That's your Midwest, and then you go Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska, Oregon. So you're plucking the Pac-12 here. And Washington. So I think there's going to be
your footprint be almost across the entire country.
All of your conference is, your footprint is across the country. And then you got your Midwest.
And they look at that as the way to compete with the SEC.
What do you think?
Really, at this point, would be the only
super conference. That's the only way
you do it. That's a lot.
Well, you want to go big as opposed to go smaller or stay the same. You got to go big to be
competitive. I like the idea of going after some of those Pac-12s because look, their deal too. They got to be just like the Big 12. They got to be asking themselves, how are we going to compete with what the SEC's got in terms of our next media if we don't go out and make ourselves more attractive? We're already, you know, in terms of, hell, we've been falling off lately with what our football is doing and where the USC has been and everything else. We're losing sort of our place in the pecking order. Yes, so we've got to strengthen our. So what do we do? And so I think it's smart of the Big 10 to look that way and try to pluck some of them because a lot of them, like we said, you're talking about individual agendas, have got to be asking themselves that question.
Right.
Are we going to be in a better place to earn
money
as a group with the guys we've got, poaching a few, or are we going to be better off going and jumping in a Big Ten or something like that?
Right.
I think you got to pose the question to them if you're the Big Ten and try to shake it up because, again, nothing is going to compete with what's going on with the SEC, with what they've got from a football standpoint.
Right.
So you got to try to think as outside the box and get as giant as you can to try to compete with the behemoth that will be the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas.
And if you're ACC, do you just sit back and let
No, it's the same thing. You still got to if you got to be aggressive.
You got to get Notre Dame involved and all that.
I would think that's the real brand to be added here, and they've got the relationship with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, playing essentially an ACC football schedule this past year, there's the relationship there. So why not try to suck them in? Plus, they bring real value to the table.
Sure.
If you are the ACC, them and others though, because they will have to be looking to get bigger as well to compete with the big dog that is officially bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. Now the SEC hasn't formally extended that invite, and probably won't. I love the way Tony put it. Until you know that you're going to get that yes, just like when you're proposing to your woman. Right, you want to wait for the right time. You're not looking for a no, so you're going to wait on that relationship to mature. But more importantly, guys, if she's coming out of a divorce, you're going to wait on that divorce to be officially over, so that you know when she's coming.
Okay,
when she can jump the broom, when she can get married with you. And so you don't do that. You don't extend that formal invitation until you know how quickly Texas and Oklahoma are going to be able to get out of that thing. And like I said, it's sort of been the question of the morning for me and Brad. Mm-hmm. That going to be 1 year, this season, then you're able to get out? Is it going to take two? That, in time, will determine when that invitation comes formally from the SEC to join us. But it's only a matter of, it's only a matter of steps at this point. It's all happening and the wheels are turning.
As a Memphis fan, Jeff was really sad about this morning because he just sees it as something where Memphis...
Well, that was me last week.
You kind of got it out of your system last week, I take it.
Well, I did it on just about all the shows, and I figured folks were probably tired of hearing me cry, man, what happens to Memphis? Because the reason this is sort of... is because you've worked so hard to put yourself in this position that when these doors open, you would be invited in. And it doesn't feel like, if you read Thamel or anybody else,
none of them are mentioning
anybody
us.
Thinks in terms of the most attractive, if you're Big 12 or one of these other conferences trying to add value, that Memphis is at the top of that heap of others that you'd like to bring in. I haven't gotten that vibe in anything I've read. We've been here before. So how do you not feel like this if you're Memphis? Now, what I am encouraged by is this idea that the college football playoff proposal stays the same. You stay with the 12. Through all of this change, and that in an AAC that's still got some hitters, maybe you manage to keep Cincy or you manage to keep Houston, SMU, whatever it is, maybe you even added something, that you've still got your shot. I'm encouraged by that idea, but Brad, I'm not going all in because I don't believe. I need to see it to believe it.
Right.
I need to see it to believe it, that the real power brokers, after all this dust settles, are still going to be interested in giving the little guy, in this case, the next best thing outside of our power conferences, that shot. I need to see that proposal last through this before I think that this is a good thing for Memphis, or they're not a devastating thing.
I don't want to pick the Memphis scab here, but I want to ask you this. I want to be careful. I'll duck after I ask it. Do you think if they would have built an on-campus stadium and been a little more proactive about a decade ago, we would be in a different position?
It's hard.
You talk about Louisville a lot.
No, I mean, you needed... it wasn't just investing in terms of facilities, and some people would say the best case of facilities, football facilities for Memphis, is having that on campus. And it would, I still say that's the and you controlling it is always the best case scenario.
Right.
Right. That now sometimes it can be nice because if you're not, the cities, they're responsible for the upkeep.
And they pay for
there
that.
There can be
place.
Things that are not, but it's always best when it's under your control and you're making the decisions on.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's always best case scenario. But I don't think that necessarily guarantees that if you had done that, you're in.
Right.
No. And since Tommy, quite frankly, does the speech, they have invested in everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's necessarily the Liberty Bowl. Holding you back from being considered. It's everything. It's really everything else. It's being in the middle of SEC country, so they already got your market as it is anyway.
They already got
your market.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I think you nailed it right there. That's the bigger question. That was the bigger thing.
But from an athletic standpoint, from an academic standpoint, like Memphis's resume here and what it's added to it in the last 7 years, particularly on the football side of it, you absolutely deserve the shot. I think the investments have been made. The question is, do they think you're attractive enough? Do they think you bring enough value? And frankly, there's not a ton of brands out there that are Brad, when you invite them in, are going to make you look like what the SEC's got. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing out there to add that's going to give you that sort of value of what the SEC's going to have.
Yeah.
And so, again, you just wonder where you're going to be left And for Memphis, you're kind of hoping it's a, you know, mostly whole AAC that hopefully still has a seat at the college football, you know, playoff table. We'll see.
Next story.
All right. I'll strike up the music.
Oh, yeah. I got Olympics fooled this weekend.
There is a lot to cover here. The ESPN ticker and the Olympic counter have China at 18. We are second place right now in the medal count, Jason, at 14.
Okay.
Ahead of Japan at 13. So that's pretty good, right? I mean, second place in the overall medal count.
We'll be leading that overall by the time it's done.
Now, we've talked a lot about the U.S. men's basketball team. We'll talk about that in Respect Burgers. But I do have some sad news for U.S. and Olympian fans here in Memphis and around the country. Olympics, people aren't watching the Olympics.
We're not?
We're not watching the Olympics.
I watched this weekend. We're not watching.
Did you watch the opening ceremonies?
Yeah, I went back. I caught the taped and delayed version on Friday night, I want to say. And I went back, and I got to be honest with y'all.
It was lame. It's lame, Jason. You can say it. It's okay. There's no people in the stands, for God's sakes.
The artsy, it lost me.
It's not fun.
Now, I stuck with it, though, because, and I'll tell you what, it's hard. It's hard through that Japanese alphabet to wait on the United States because it's different. I don't know if you know that, but their alphabet's different than ours.
Yeah, it starts with a different letter.
The order's different than what you might think, so U.S. may be further back than what you might think. We stuck around. We kept it on the television, and it took a while. We always love to see what USA is wearing. The polo outfit, Brad.
The Ralph Lauren
thing. My family's a big
Ralph
Lauren supporters.
Yeah,
as you know,
I've seen
a lot of my closet is polo, as you know, because you can get that at Macy's, very cheap. Get good deals. But no, we stuck around just to see the USA. So I ended up watching all of it. But in terms of understanding it, it was hard.
You might be the only person watching it. The Olympic ceremony drew 16.7 million total in the U.S. It was down almost 40% from
good
Rio.
Reef.
The smallest audience for this event in 33 years.
Well, not having the crowd didn't help anything either.
So
they're coming out waving and there's nobody up in the stands.
There are some really difficult things. John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau tested positive for COVID, and they're out of the Olympics already. And then Taylor Crabb, this American beach volleyball player, she trained for years to be in the Olympics.
Yes.
And then she was quarantined in her hotel room, tested positive for COVID-19. She has to stay there for 10 days. She can't leave her hotel room before she leaves, and she can't even play in the Olympics. So, Olympics...
Good Lord.
You know, I am into the Olympics. I think... I watched a little bit yesterday, the swimming. We won the 4x100. I watched that last night. So that was fun. I did see a little bit of the opening ceremony. I DVR'd it because Jake said, you got to watch this drone thing. Have you seen the drone thing?
That was the best part.
That was the best part.
My son and I were watching at that point. It must have been, I don't have the number in front of me, but thousands of drones up in the sky that were all flying tightly together.
Yes.
And it made it look like a moon or something.
They said there was 1,800 of these things.
I believe it had to be in the thousands.
So
they were flying tightly together, and it all formed a bigger version of a... It looked like a moon or a planet.
All sorts of different things.
Yes, that
was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
I think it was like seeing the
technology,
future.
Technology, bro.
I think that's going to be the future. Instead, I know you don't like fireworks. You and I are off the fireworks deal, right?
Yeah,
that's
I kind of graduated from fireworks.
Yeah, we're done with fireworks.
This impressed me, to your
this
point.
This was cool.
Drones flying tightly together and forming a
better
an
than
image
fireworks, right?
In the sky. Yes, I found it more. I don't know. There was sort of a detailed oriented
thing. It
was
cool. Programmed, and they have them in the air, and they're forming shapes. There was one other thing.
It takes forever to program those things to do that.
Jake also showed me on DVR, they have these U.S. Olympic moments on Xfinity. And I don't know if Superbox has this or not, Jason. I don't want to poke the bear here. But Xfinity has, you can just go to the moments, and it gets you. I did see the moment.
Superbox don't have that.
Did you see I guess in Japan... They created those symbols, those emojis. That was where the emoji started. You know, if you're a runner.
Yeah, I saw that story. Okay. They started with the emoji.
And people listening who did watch the Olympics know exactly what I'm talking about.
And they did all 50, right?
They did all the emojis in a person was in a costume. And it looked like an emoji.
It was more than just one, too. In some cases, they'd have three people in the costume all together to form the emoji. That part was cool. That part was
so
pretty
cool. Those were the only
two
moments.
They dropped one of them. I don't know if you saw that.
You would point that out, Jason, but
well,
you can't
you've
be
had
perfect
a,
all the time.
You've had 5 years here to get this thing right? One extra.
He dropped the damn baton. And you're pissed off because he dropped the baton and the emoji dance?
It just
dance?
Stood out because everything else was so well executed, just about everything else.
That's all I got on my Olympic report. I mean, I hope we can beat China in the Olympic count.
That and Team USA loses to France,
that's
but hopefully going to bounce back. Right now, still the betting favorite. at least four now. Great Olympic roundup.
Thank
there,
you.
Brad.
That was my roundup.
We're
for
moving
the day.
On.
All right, thank you.
Next story.
All right, we got to do it. Bears have traded wide receiver Anthony Miller. We talked about a little bit, touched on in the first hour, to the Houston Texans in a deal that includes a swap of late round picks. This was bound to happen. Miller's now 26, was in the final year of his rookie deal, which he signed after we traded up. Remember, we traded up. I'm a Bears fan, yes, to get him in the second round back in 2018. And, man, was he good in that first year. Caught 7 touchdowns. If I remember off the top of my head, that was second most among rookies in the NFL. Only Ridley. Only my guy Ridley in Atlanta had more as a rookie. But it's kind of all gone downhill from there for Anthony Miller, who now through, what, it was 3 seasons, 134 catches, 1,500 yards, 11 scores. And last year in the wild card game, ends up getting tossed out, gets into a physical altercation with a Saints corner who did the exact same thing in the regular season to the Bears and got Javon Wims thrown out of the game.
So dumb.
It had literally been talked about the week before, Brad. Here's the issue. We talk about, okay, this guy's going to try to geek you and try to get you. And it happened again.
He did it again.
And you let him get it again. And so it speaks to your professionalism. It speaks to
immaturity.
And to your maturity level. There's no question about it.
Yep.
And for Anthony Miller, it was probably done at that point, okay, if you're the Bears. Now, what I'll go back to is what I said first hour. In terms of well-coached, well-led franchises where you can have an Anthony Miller who's passionate, may make some of the wrong choices, but if you got a good support system around him, you can turn that into good, sort of like the Pittsburgh Steelers did with Antonio Brown, a man who you had no control over, but for years they were able to keep him on the field and get touchdowns and yards out of him.
They figured out how to do that.
And win games. The Bears did not have that for Anthony Miller.
No.
And Brad and I were talking about this off air. You know, with Anthony Miller, whose strength in college was his heart, his passion, his willingness to do whatever it took at his size, right, to get that advantage. And a lot of times that was just outworking you or being more passionate than you.
Being a dog. Go get it.
Being a dog. Screaming and yelling on the sidelines in college where everybody's looking at you, oh, we better up our level because Anthony Miller's mad in college. Or if you're Paxton or whoever it was throwing the ball, I better throw the ball because Anthony Miller's mad at me. He's demanding it. He makes his – in college, all that passion and screaming and whining on the sidelines, that doesn't get you anywhere.
Not in the NFL.
Get you anywhere.
Heck no.
They're all passionate.
Right.
But what they're more concerned is their paycheck.
Yeah.
And there's that. And sort of you have to find a way to sort of take that passion – right, and use it, but put the polish of being a professional on it, and then let it drive you. The Bears didn't have the support system to teach Anthony Miller sort of the differences there. So that's where we let him down. But the part where this is on Miller is you can't let a dude who's, you know, the game plan's out on, going to try to get under your skin. He not only does it, you know, in the regular season against y'all, he does it in the wild card game when it matters most. You get yourself tossed out of the game. Like, there are parts in terms of maturity that Miller's got to get. There's also the routine. The routine Anthony Miller would struggle with sometimes with drops, whereas he would make the sensational play and the sensational diving catch, but drop the routine ball. That part of it, too, is going to have to be. I hope the best for him because the dude's a dog. You want him on your squad. There's no question about it. But the Bears didn't have the right support system, and here's the problem. He's going to Houston.
What a disaster.
Which is as bad as we've been in terms of leadership, all that stuff. Houston way worse off. Remember, the Bears were a dang playoff team last year. Houston ain't even in the same boat. And now they've got Deshaun Watson on the trading block, it appears. So who will even be throwing to Anthony Miller in a couple of years? We shall see. But I'm hoping he gets it all figured out because the talent is there. You know, Anthony Miller is driven as anybody in the league.
Yeah.
He's just got to get the right system and then get his head right? Man, I gotta take care of the finer details, too, on my part, and he'll be fine. I just hopefully for him, Houston finds a quarterback. Maybe it happens there or somewhere else. Houston's been a bad situation for so many. You wonder, can it be a good one for Anthony Miller? Whatever. I wish him the best. Wish it could have worked out better than it did.
I think that's
next story.
All right, so we'll go with receivers here. I got one more story for you in my rundown items. The top wide receivers have been released by Madden 22.
Oh, this sounds like a John Martin story.
This is exactly.
You're talking about Madden ratings?
Madden ratings.
Oh, good. You're right up our alley here.
This is why we miss John. You know, these little video game stuff, you know.
Won't miss him as much if you continue to bring these kind of
I'm just trying to come out of the box a little bit.
The last time you played a Madden. Did your kid say, hey, Dad, come here for
Jake.
5 minutes? And,
yeah, it was
and
Jake.
You were terrible, so you couldn't
terrible. Even say, right. I don't know anything about – I don't even know how to use the joystick.
Well, who's number one?
And it's not a joystick anymore. It's two hands. You know, they used to have the – Atari had one. It was a lot better.
Don't worry. We still call them the sticks.
Yeah, it's a stick. Well, top wide receivers – I forgot about your question about these guys before the show. We'll go over that next. Number one is – actually, I'll start at number 10. How about that? Allen Robinson, your boy, number 10.
Should always be considered a top 10 receiver in the league.
I think that's fair.
We've probably done him wrong, too.
And I need to study should've these guys.
Should have paid the man.
They should have paid
Instead
him.
Instead of franchising him.
Well, and this might have been, they had a lot of weapons in Chicago. That's part of why, Anthony Miller kind of finding his role there. But I need to study these guys, too, because this is the year where I try to step up my fantasy football game.
So actually compete.
Actually
research. Computer do it, yes.
Robot can't do it this
Allen
year.
Allen Robinson, number 10.
Number 10. Number 9, Mike Evans, number 91 overall.
Stud.
Number 8 is Amari Cooper from your Dallas Cowboys.
When healthy, I'd take Mike Evans when healthy better than Amari, but I'm okay with
I
that.
Think people haven't
still,
respect
have
put
Mike
enough
Evans higher
put some
than,
respect on Amari Cooper now. Number 7 is Keenan Allen.
Him.
93.
Okay.
I'd probably put Amari ahead of him.
I think I'd have Amari and Mike Evans both ahead of him, but go ahead. Keenan Allen's still good. Production's there.
Keyshawn Johnson's boy at number 6 here from the New Orleans Saints is Michael Thomas at a 94.
Who's not going to be ready for the season, for when the season opens.
Yep.
By the way.
He's there. He's hurt right now.
Injured, yeah.
Number 5 is Julio Jones, 95. Number 4
and he is now a Tennessee Titan. How about that? And he's number 5.
Damn.
John trying to say this man old and over the hill.
Well, I heard him talking about him this morning.
Keep him healthy for the playoffs, and it will benefit you.
When did the Titans lose a game?
Oh, don't go that far now.
They are good. They are really good.
Don't go that far. When will they
offense
lose
is good. Defense better.
I mean, they still got so much to prove on the defensive end. They add Bud Dupree. They've invested a lot up front, but they got a lot, and they've revamped the
maybe secondary. The best offense in the league.
And this idea of they're not going to lose, though. Come on now, bro.
Stephon Diggs at number 4.
Okay.
I can buy that.
Yeah, he's turned Josh Allen around. That man's got not just talented as a receiver, just as a quarterback maker.
And then we get to the top 3 here, and this is pretty easy, I think. Tyreek Hill at number 3. DeAndre Hopkins at number 2, 98 overall, and the 99 overall, number 1, Davante Adams. What do you think?
Devontae's I see him twice a year, so I know for sure. You can pencil him in, too. You put him in your parlay or whatever, put him in for
yards
touchdown
and,
or more.
Yeah.
Comes through every time.
Yep.
I mean, Davante Adams is as good as it gets. Now, part of what makes him as good as it gets is the relationship and that understanding he's got with Aaron Rodgers, who always knows where he's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Knows his whole catch radius and all that other good stuff. So nobody knows him better. And when you've got a Hall of Famer as your guy, that helps you be more productive and certainly in this case helps you be the best. Did you see what those two put on Instagram? The whole
no.
They did it at the same time. Aaron Rodgers, who, again, Green Bay's camp starts tomorrow.
Oh, he's –
we don't think he'll report. Him and Devontae both – and Devontae, who's apparently
cut off –
they're tag
team in that organization.
Who apparently has cut off contract talks with Green Bay, at least for right now.
I didn't hear this Friday.
Has on Instagram, they both put up at the same time like a picture of Scotty and Mike fist bumping.
This is unbelievable, this whole Green Bay
debacle. They did it at the same – it's like a whole bunch of drama. You know, there's a lot of drama involved with this, and that's the one thing about it that I'm
– you really think Aaron Rodgers could just retire and not play, and Devontae Adams will follow suit and just say, yeah, I ain't going to do my extension. You know, I just don't see that.
What I think is going to happen is he's going to play for Green Bay after getting his contract reworked.
All right.
They're going to allow him to be a free agent after the season to get him this
get
year,
through one.
To get through this one, to get through one more and have a shot at winning the Super Bowl, which you have a shot at with Aaron Rodgers
I
back in the fold.
I actually think this makes sense.
You get him back and you give him the contract he wants, which is not about money. We said
right.
I told you guys that last week. Some folks thought this was all about money the entire time.
Right.
Green Bay offered to make him the highest paid. They offered 2 more years. Would have tied him there through 5. You're the highest paid quarterback. Wasn't about that.
Yeah.
He wants the flexibility, Brad. He wants the Tom Brady to be able to call the shots. And what he needs is out of the contract,
right,
which has got 2 more years on it. And so I think what Green Bay might ultimately end up doing is saying, you know what, we're gonna restructure this.
Yeah.
And we're gonna let you out after one more season. Let's give it another go.
It makes
go,
sense. It makes
bring
sense.
It all back together.
I think you're right.
And we'll go from there. I don't know because I guess if you believe him, you trade him and see what you can get, but I don't know if Green Bay is going to go that far.
And then final part of this report, we have a late addition to the cap or no cap. We're going to bring that into the rundown. I know that mixing and matching a little bit here. Cap or no cap, Davante Adams, he get that vaccine and he play this year.
Oh, you had. Well, you said
no. How about DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins, who was not vaccinated,
I meant DeAndre.
Okay, DeAndre Hopkins. You think he's going to now get vaccinated?
I think my man gets vaccinated and he plays a full season.
Well, he did delete that tweet.
He did delete the tweet.
Because again, we've said, you know, if you're in a situation as an unvaccinated player where you put your team in a spot where it can't play those game checks, you can cost not just your team but the other team as well.
Yes, yes.
As you pointed out last week. So I don't know. It's a question I'm going to ask Jason Fitz. With this policy, does it make you dig? Did you acquiesce? Do you fold? Do you go ahead and get the vaccine so you can make you're not risking other guys' checks? Or does it make you dig in more?
Right.
Because you're saying, NFL, you don't control. I'm a grown man. I got my money. If you're DeAndre Hopkins, I got my money. Right. You don't tell me how to live my life. You don't tell me to make this choice. You can't legally make me get the vaccine.
Yeah.
So does it make you dig in more against them? I don't know. The fact that he deleted the tweet makes me think, too, that he's not just thinking about that it's really, yeah, it's your choice, and that's on you, but it's a choice that can potentially affect others, and we're not just talking about potentially a win or games or advancing to a Super Bowl. We would be talking about livelihoods and money.
Right.
So again, you're talking about, yes, your choice, but when it starts to affect others in that way and on all of those fronts,
right,
is that something you say, you know what? I don't want to stand in the way potentially of stopping these guys from, you know, living the way they're used to living and getting their checks. So I'm going to sacrifice this and do it. You know, I guess, you know, counter to my beliefs in what this vaccine, you know, what this vaccine represents. I don't know, Brett, because it seems to me like DeAndre Hopkins is a headstrong dude.
Yeah.
That when he makes a decision, he's going to stick to it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we saw that with the Texans.
But again, it's not just you that so many of these players have to consider in this instance. It's your team, particularly as an unvaccinated. Vaccinated guy come down with – the protocols are different.
Sure.
You know, all of it different in terms of the contact tracing, all of that. But an unvaccinated, as we've seen from those rules, could cost you a game from a forfeit and then a game check. And that's a lot to put on not just your team, what they think of you, but the other team too.
The last part is the reason why I think if you're DeAndre Hopkins, and I realize he's headstrong.
NFL got to do something, though.
But if you're him walking around – to me, personally – walking around with a mask and different protocols for me and that all those inconveniences, I realize you're affecting the game check part, and I agree with that. But, like, it would just be a burden. Like, it's just a pain in the ass. Like, you're an athlete. You want to breathe. Like, you know, you don't want to be masked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see these athletes on the Olympics, and it's like they're handing them a mask after they swam for a 4x100. They don't want to put the stupid mask on. They're vaccinated. Get that thing out of my face.
No, I understand where you come from.
You know what I'm saying?
That separate set of protocol, I'll be real honest with you. I was hoping that would be enough to incentivize it for some of these guys.
Yeah, the inconveniences.
But come on, if you've gone this far without being vaccinated, you've probably done enough research and all that you've decided despite what the research said, you've decided I ain't doing it.
I'm not doing it.
And so are you really going to change your mind based on this? I suspect a great many NFL players will, but it's more so these guys, the stars of the league. The one that don't necessarily have to and have never been used to folding up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whether it's contract
talks
or whatever they want.
Yeah.
Are they going to be willing to, in this case, acquiesce? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'd be curious to see. And again, you know, you could have locker rooms across the league, you know, arguing. We saw Cole Beasley going back and forth at it with a teammate last week.
Yeah.
On Twitter,
it's
publicly
crazy.
Going back and forth on the virus and whether or not you know he was a threat to another teammate, all that kind of stuff. So this is going to continue. We'll see what happens. But you said Davante Adams number one and DeAndre.
Davante was number one, and then I had DeAndre.
That was Madden ratings
at number two on the Madden ratings. So that's receivers.
I got one more. He's a guy who gave a respect burger to a couple weeks back. Got to talk about
next story.
Luka, he had 48.
Oh yes,
48 in his Olympic debut. Be nice if he was playing for the U.S., huh?
You think he's the best player in the world?
No, that's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He can't shoot, Jason. The man can't shoot.
He just went 17-19.
I know it. I know he
from the free throw
line. I know what he did in that game six, but it's like his old coach, Luka's coach.
Luka giving you 50 in the finals closeout game?
No. I don't know.
Could Luka buy himself?
Maybe.
And look,
maybe.
That Dallas team is.
He is such an awesome shooter.
You could almost say it was bare bones because Porzingis was terrible, and you know Hardaway had a good season, but he was dragging that
and the assist.
Dallas team by itself. Did he get him over the hump? No.
They were close. They were. I know close only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes.
Can
but like,
he be the best player in the world eventually? Yes. That man is 22.
That's the crazy part.
Luka Doncic plays like he's 32 in terms of his control of the game. You think he's a guy who's at his prime or, you know.
He feels like an old head, like he's 30 years old and been doing
this. The way he controls things, yes. But right now, no, you can't give him that yet, Brad. Seems like you already want to crown him.
Nah.
His
old coach said
that. Giannis or LeBron or KD or one of those guys until further notice. I'm one of those guys who thinks LeBron, at least right now, is no longer the best player in the world. He used to be.
No.
He's aged.
He's an actor now.
At this point. And then look what Giannis just did. 340 and 10 plus.
No, that was impressive.
In the finals, we've only seen that from one other dude, Shaquille O'Neal. In the finals, we've only seen it 50 points in a closeout game, only one other time in the finals.
I'll change the question.
Luka's not ready to do those things yet.
For Olympics, Luka might be the best Olympian-style player because the shooting, the assists.
Oh, man. I tell you, the thing he does that amazes me the most besides just the control and the poise and the basketball IQ is that sort of one-footed.
That step-back one-footer deal from way long, like behind the three-point arc.
Organization, you would say, don't spend time trying to develop or even take. That's not a good shot. The analytics people would tell you, don't take that shot. It's off 1 foot. A lot of times it's around the elbow, the free throw line. And dude is awesome with it.
Awesome. Off like a laser.
Foot. It's something we would have done in horse or something.
That's crazy.
And he's doing it off 1 foot, and you're seeing other guys in the league start to pick up on it, too.
Yep.
But that shot about Doncic at 22 years old, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like a shot you would develop as an old man. Hey, I've added this to my repertoire because I've already got everything else. He uses it in gameplay. It's fantastic. And it's not just that shot.
Yeah.
Doncic does a lot that amazes. It's magic. But that one in particular, that skill, the fact that he spent time on it and gotten it to a level where that it's as sharp as it is, it just shows you
the
kind of player
he is. Well, he made four of those in the Olympics.
Nobody's even working on that. He's added a skill that's actually useful.
Most of the players, what they're doing is they're doing the opposite. They're trying to get the foul call, so they're leaning forward or trying to get the step foul call. Like, he's not doing it.
Do the hands.
They do the hands. They do the step forward. They try to get a land on so they're in the area and the space, and they call that in the NBA. I think he's amazing. I mean, he's in the top three, I bet.
48 points is tied for the second highest total in men's basketball history in the games that was as a debut, as an Olympic debut. So he was absolutely phenomenal. And listen, I mean, Slovenia still, as good as he is, they're not among the top four favorites to win it. Still USA, even after the loss to France, Australia at plus 800, then Spain plus 900, and then France. Gobert.
Jiminy Christmas.
At plus 1,100. Then Slovenia sitting there after that at plus 1,800. But Luka Doncic is an absolute star. Brad's ready to call him best player in the world. I ain't ready to go that far, but he was fantastic.
He's good.
He was absolutely fantastic in his debut for Slovenia with 48 points. We got a lot more to get to, including top of the hour. We're going to do some respect burgers around here. I was watching a couple of shows on Netflix over the weekend. Have you heard about this Blood Red Sky?
No.
It's like number one on Netflix.
Did you watch it?
I watched it all. Snakes on a Plane. You remember the old Samuel Jackson?
I do.
How about Vampires on a Plane?
Not kind of my kind of jam, man. I'm not.
And
into
I didn't
the
think
whole...
because of all that, I didn't think it would be
that ain't
either
my thing.
But it pulled me in among a couple other things. We got more. We got a disrespect dog too. We've got a handout, and then at 125, we'll talk to the great Jason Fitz. Ask him about Oklahoma and Texas making it official. That and much more, including the draft, which is coming up Thursday. Grizzlies got the number 17 pick. Plenty more to get to when we get back. Listen to J&J 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The hour, a little past, we'll do Respect Burgers. A little hint on a couple of them right on the side. See those Memphis cops checking? Did you see that?
No. I miss this.
You know, like the checking you're used to here,
yeah,
on
like
the J&J
Olympics,
show.
Like checking Olympics? Like where you kind of
go at Yeah, there was a video that went viral that was I was made aware of over the weekend.
Oh.
Where some cops were going right back at it with the dudes checking them. Nothing more Memphis than this video. I don't think we can play it, though, because y'all know it's okay. Memphis checking. So, there'd be some Memphis language that we can't necessarily have on here.
So in a week, we'll have John back. We'll be at full staff here
full
on the
power as we head
show,
on into football J&J season, show. Eventually basketball season again.
But you had given the tease that y'all are going to bring back because of the Olympics, the checking Olympics are going to come back.
Well, we cannot let the 2020, these are still the 2020 Olympics.
Oh, I
just
forgot,
postponed to 2021. We cannot let them pass us by without getting in around a checking.
So this is
Olympics.
The 2020.
And particularly because, mm-hmm. too, we've got that nice giant trophy in the back that somebody needs to get their hands on. Some deserving checker needs to get his hands on.
Well, and it's
his
like,
or her hands
it's
on.
Like the Lombardi where they etch your name in it. It stays here. You travel, you get pictures. We'll find some prizes to give you. You get to take home.
Question's always going to be the subject.
Yeah, that's
because
where I was going with this.
Olympic-style checks
who
and Olympic-style performances in checking Olympics, you need a great subject.
That's the most important part.
That will be key, but it'll be that is part of the reason why we wanted to wait until we were whole with John back next week to go ahead and get into this. But we will not let this pass.
Right.
The Olympics will not come and go. What are they, 17 days?
Yeah, we got a long time. It's like 11.
They will not come
like
and 11. Go without us having a checking Olympics and we'll do that when John Martin gets back next week.
If people have submissions, can I at least say, hey, you know, you can start sending in, like, people who could be checked?
Oh, like victims?
Yeah, the victims.
Subjects, whatever the word is you want to use.
I've already done this. You can't pick me.
You've done it? Who have been our...
Didn't Jeffrey Wright do it? I think Jeffrey Wright got popped.
I think so.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey Wright and myself have been the two candidates so far.
And then
far.
Did we not do Iguodala? When he
that was a one-off. I think we one-offed Iguodala because we just want to get at him.
Yeah, because of what he did in terms of the trade and the way he was talking about the
Grizzlies. He blew off Memphis, like Dylan Brooks. Like we can't wait
so
to
So I
want to
say that Iguodala got that same treatment that you and Jeffrey did.
That's
y'all
a good
had been
person,
the,
though.
The three.
Yeah.
It's always better when you got a little bit of disdain or even a little bit of hate.
There's a little bit of hate
for
in
the,
it.
For the subject.
Or
in
they're
that
just
case,
a real easy target.
With Iguodala, it made it more fun.
Welcome to mole-looking ass. You know?
Now, you fall in that just easy target
Huge
category.
Target. Big-ass target.
And you got absolutely wasted.
But you were a great
participant, man. You were very, very nice about it.
It's all right.
It didn't hurt your self-esteem.
Should John?
Anything, right?
I guess John can't be a candidate. You know, himself, John Martin.
We put his feet on blast.
Yeah, yeah, boy, he has some nasty ass feet.
I'll tell you who you won't be putting in a checking competition is Walter Nolan III, probably because he would DDT you. If you're not aware of who he is, he's the nation's number one defensive lineman. He had been at St. Benedict. He is now on the move again. Kari Thompson of the Commercial Appeal and many others have reported that that Walter Nolan III, who is, we told you, he's the number one defensive lineman in the country. Mm-hmm. He's number three overall. So you're talking about class of 2022. There are only two other prospects in this great country.
Senior.
That are ranked higher than he is. Yes, will be a senior, 6'5", 280. He is headed to enroll, or he's already enrolled. He's headed to Knox County. He's going to enroll at Powell High School.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.